This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. So if you are watching on the stream, you see that we have our buddy Janelle here, Holy L, who does all of our entertainment and movie stuff, because at 3 p.m., her normal time on Thursdays, President Trump is going to do a press conference and giving everything that's going on in Washington. We think it could be spicy, so we're going to carry at least part of that. So Janelle's going to hang out with us for the half hour. There's also another person sitting here who would like to call a suspect, an update on Sandwichgate. So let me just walk you through today. Charles, who's the vice president of sales, was a witness, and he came in and he gave his testimony.
Yeah.
And Andrew did not back down. He absolutely maintains his innocence. In fact, I think he thinks he did someone a favor. We had them pull the tape. And there is video evidence of three people going into the setup kitchen who could have pulled out the sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Mark Cox, Kim St. Ange, and our very own Amy Markscores, who, to her credit, came right into the studio.
Oh, yeah. I was so excited about sandwich. Okay, I didn't know a sandwich gate, because yesterday, to me, in real time, it was just sandwiches. So super excited. So Ronge goes, oh, my gosh, did you hear? I go, what? He goes, and I'm going to be throwing people under the bus.
That's okay.
He said,
yeah.
So this
That's what this whole exercise is.
Part of the game.
During our show, he goes, Tina said they double ordered food yesterday, or Monday, because of the big FM launch, and Steve, our boss, had Rosalita's, which was so good, but someone else ordered sandwiches. And he said, anyway, this Ronge said, Tina told me that they double ordered food and there's tons of sandwiches in the back by her refrigerator, you know, that we can eat because they're going to go bad. We double ordered. And I'm like, are you serious? Let's go. So Ronge and I marched back and opened the fridge, and lo and behold, all these sandwiches were there. So we open up the sandwiches, and Tammy came in, our security guard, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, well, I'm taking two turkey and avocado. And Tina's like, yeah, take a sandwich. And Tammy goes, oh, that looks good. And then Ronge took a different sandwich, and then we closed it back up, put it back in the fridge, and I went on with my day.
So when was this approximately?
Well, it was during the show, so it was before noon.
Okay.
Yeah, we would have been in there, you know, like 11:30-ish. So it's before that, clearly.
When you guys were in there opening the sandwiches, were you the first to open the sandwiches?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So we can get rid of Mark Cox and Kim St. Ange.
I think because Ronge technically pulled out the sandwiches and opened it. I don't think they had been touched, but I can honestly say there were enough sandwiches that if one or two had been taken, I don't think I would have noticed. But I was under the impression that we were the first and that Tina had just told us.
How did Ronge evade the cameras?
Yeah, that's interesting.
No, he went with Amy.
Like, I followed him.
So we didn't get him listed on there. Maybe he and Charles have a deal.
You know how he like treats me like a little assistant or dog or something?
A service dog.
He's like, come here. I'm like, what are we doing? He's like, just follow. Just come on. That's what he did. Come on. I'm like, okay. Okay, Ronge. And I just followed him because
she's Edith Bunker.
I don't know what I am, a dog.
Sandwiches. I like sandwiches.
So I followed him, and you know how he does that elbows out walk?
That's his excited walk.
It is. And I was excited too. And so I was like, wow, thank you, Tina. So,
Andrew, grab Rach's microphone there. Have you been following the conversation?
I have.
Okay. Did you realize now that it looks like the true
perpetrator,
square one culprit, is Ronge?
Yeah.
I think it's Tina.
I was going to say, patient one might be Tina.
I don't think it was Tina. Because I think Tina would say something. I think Tina would tell me. I think it was Chris.
But Tina told Chris.
She told Chris it was that they were there and it was open.
Because here's the thing. We're not snooping around in that back refrigerator.
Perhaps. Nobody's ever back there.
No one's ever back there. And we were in the middle of a show. So how would Ronj know in the middle of a show? And it had to have been the last hour. It had to have been. But I can't remember. I don't remember what part of the show.
Tina does want to see Chris's downfall. I think we all know that.
Okay. To be fair.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Which, that's everybody in the office.
To be honest, Andrew, I didn't even think of that angle, and Tina was mad at Chris on Monday. She was pointing at him.
Oh.
It's all coming together.
He was in a bad mood.
Now we have motive.
Nice.
Yeah, we do have a motive.
Then, Tina.
Then we got to get to, what did Ronj do before that to make her mad?
She said he had a bad attitude.
Oh, well, that's every day. So.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. This is the thing.
I said that's every day. That's just Ronj.
The reason I said with so much confidence that that she wants Chris's downfall is because we all want Chris's downfall. I'm not sure that Janelle has met Chris, and
probably,
she's like, I mean, if he had a downfall, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah. But I tell you what,
he may not have done anything to deserve it today.
Yeah.
But that's just like that we know of.
You know who you are? You're Kato Kaelin.
Oh my gosh. I remember Kato. Yeah.
You're in the summer house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you didn't really do the crime, banged on the wall. Yeah. You didn't really do the crime, but you might have known who did.
Yeah. And I'm Robert Kardashian, is that his name, where I hid the bag? I probably threw his plate away too.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Probably did.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I generally have the most guilty conscience of anyone ever, but I don't even feel guilty because I was so excited about the sandwiches yesterday when I found out.
You and Andrew.
Yeah.
Sharing the love of the sandwich.
Yeah, they were delicious. I had another one today.
There's more?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Apparently, so I got told there were, from our own Matt Pajeski. If we're throwing people under the bus, I'm throwing everyone.
Yeah,
Matt Pajeski,
boy, you're taking no prisoners.
Yeah. Matt said he and Tammy put all the sandwiches away yesterday. And he goes, there's a lot of sandwiches. And when I showed up this morning, there were 2.5. So I don't know what kind of sketchy people we have working overnight. But I think they took a ton of sandwiches.
Well, they were free then, though. So.
Yeah, but that's rude. You can't,
take the
more
free food
than you can eat in the moment.
Oh, it's my like, God. Andrew has a shirt that says that. That's the only rule
he
lives by.
Going to Ponderosa and stuffing your pockets with mashed potatoes. It's just rude.
Just saying. Yeah. While you're here, you guys want to play this or that? Want to play that little game I made up?
Yeah.
Okay. I even have one for you.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll start with Amy in case you have to leave.
Okay.
Okay. So you know how you play, right?
Yep.
Just this or that. Sweet treats. Cherry pie or pound cake?
Pound cake.
Pound cake or a chocolate Long John?
Chocolate Long John.
Chocolate Long John or a chocolate chip cookie?
A good chocolate chip cookie.
You do love cookies.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Chocolate chip cookie.
Chocolate chip cookie or a brownie?
Like a little kid.
Amy's like, get ready to dive into the pool each time.
A brownie.
I see why Ronj picked it.
A brownie.
A brownie or an ice cream sundae?
Ice cream sundae.
She just said ice cream sundae.
Ice cream sundae.
Recency bias. It's new. I'm like,
like ice cream sundae or poop. Love it. Ice cream sundae or fudge?
Ice cream sundae.
Fudge or a Snickers bar?
Wait, or ice cream sundae or a Snickers bar?
Sorry, yes.
Ice cream sundae.
Ice cream sundae or a warm glazed donut?
Ice cream sundae.
Ice cream sundae or a warm cinnamon roll?
Ice cream sundae.
Ice cream sundae or apple pie?
Ice cream sundae.
Or churros?
Oh, ice cream sundae.
Ice cream sundae or bread pudding?
Ice cream sundae.
Okay.
Obviously.
Hey, there you go. You didn't ask cake.
Ice cream sundae.
I know,
cake would have won.
Cake? I think birthday cake might have won.
Okay, Janelle, you ready?
Okay.
Shawshank Redemption or Godfather?
Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank or The Dark Knight?
The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight or Godfather 2?
The Dark Knight.
Ooh. Dark Knight or Lord of the Rings, Return of the King?
Oh, Return of the King.
Return of the King or Forrest Gump?
Return of the King.
Return of the King or Fight Club?
Return of the King.
Return of the King or the original Star Wars New Hope?
Star Wars.
New Hope or Empire Strikes Back?
Oh, Empire Strikes Back.
Empire or Return of the Jedi?
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire or Jaws?
Empire Strikes Back.
Empire or Poltergeist?
Empire Strikes Back.
Okay. There
good.
You go.
Yeah, that's good.
Empire and Ice Cream Sundae.
There we go.
Wheels. Judas Priest or Led Zeppelin?
Priest.
Priest or AC/DC?
Priest.
Priest or Metallica?
Metallica.
Metallica or System of a Down?
System of a Down.
System or Megadeth?
System.
System or Sabbath?
System.
System or Iron Maiden?
System.
System or Slipknot?
Slipknot.
Slipknot or Slayer?
There's no other answer. It'll be Slipknot after this.
Dave Glover Band.
Dave Glover Band with, yeah, you and Jimmy, yeah.
Slayer, Pantera, Avenged Sevenfold, and Anthrax.
All Slipknot.
All Slipknot.
All of them.
What about Rage Against the Bulls?
Slipknot. Rage Against the Bulls.
My favorite song. I just got in trouble from Charles, I think.
Rage Against the Bulls. Who said that again?
Me?
I thought it was Amy.
No,
I
that
did.
Was you. That was you.
Because
that
I like right, listened right. to the song and I was like so excited
yeah,
to say that I'd listened to Bulls
Rage
on Parade.
Bulls, yeah.
It's like we were listening to that song, Rage Against the Bulls.
I kind of like that better.
I know. That'd be a good song.
I'm so mad at the Bulls.
Hell of a video, too. Boy, you do that music video. Look out.
Oh, man. So what do you make of Sandwich Gate? Have you been following it?
I didn't get to hear today's updates. I was stopped by the front desk to ask if I had heard. And the last I had heard on the way in was that at 5 a.m. they had been opened. And
wait, what? 5 a.m. this morning or yesterday morning?
Yesterday morning. Their guess was it could have been as early as 5 a.m.
Yeah, between 5 and 11.
Okay. What is this, like an autopsy?
Yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
We're trying to
what
get
do you
the bottom
mean
of this?
They could have been opened between 5 and 11?
This is detective work.
I'd be quiet if I were you.
Yeah.
Things are kind of going your way. You might just want to lay low for a couple of
days.
This
is where the defendant needs to just not testify on his own behalf.
Okay, fair.
But yeah, they're very, the front desk, they're very invested in it. Yeah.
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 Well, there's a thief.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Among us.
But I thought it was us. I thought it was me and Ranji.
But no, if they were for everybody, is there a thief?
Well, again, it depends on what you knew at the time, right?
Again.
Mens rea.
The only person who had bad intentions at all seems to be Andrew.
Oh. Well, I mean, at least Ron and Amy got word from an authority figure that these sandwiches
does
are for everybody.
Does he get a lawyer? Right. Who's like representing?
Wheeler.
Oh. No, I've been helping him, but he's defending himself.
Oh.
Because I get his back. Like,
just pass notes to him. Like,
yeah, I mean, when I thought they were catching wind that he might have taken them, I covered for him. Well, I didn't see anybody take a sandwich.
Listen, we were in this room. And somehow, I don't know if it was, you know how Ranj, like during commercial breaks,
flips
talks
around
to everyone? Oh my gosh. He goes, you'll never believe it. Tina said they double bought and there's sandwiches for everybody. They're in the back. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, oh my gosh. I thought it was the best day ever.
Mm.
So between 9 and 11.
So did you rip into the bag, Amy?
The bag?
There were
it
no
was
bags.
It was a plastic top.
Yeah.
And it was already open when you got there.
Well, I personally didn't open any of the tops. Ranj did, so I guess he would know if the safety seal were broken. I don't know if the safety seal was. And like I said, there were so many sandwiches that 100% one or two could have been missing. But my impression, the way I felt, the vibe I got, is that we took the first sandwiches.
It didn't look like four had been missing.
It didn't look like four had been missing, but like I said, I didn't open them. Ranj like took them out, opened it, and I was like, oh, nice, I'll take this. He goes, oh, look.
Ranj is driving 100 miles an hour to Chicago right now.
He's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think we can, you're allowed to move about the country.
Okay.
You don't need to stay around.
Yeah, you don't need to stay in town.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. I'm such a ninny. I'm over here. I have so many texts from so many friends who are listening to Sandwich Gate. And then Trish stopped. And so I text her like, are you listening? She's like, no, what'd I miss? So during the break, I'm like, so Amy came in and she totally threw Tina under the bus and Tammy and blah, 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 blah. So it's been fun. Janelle is here. You can find her social stuff on Holy L-E-L-L-E. She does movie reviews for us and entertainment and so forth and so on. Can you say the thing you just said about the ball games? I think that's great.
Oh, the thing if I was king?
Yeah.
Oh, it's mean though. But
it's
like,
okay.
It's
a mean show.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. We are mean.
True. So, yeah, no, I get irritated when people have better seats than me that don't know anything about baseball. So, like, if I was king, like, the less you knew, the higher up you had to sit away from the field.
And earn your way down.
And earn your way down.
I'd like it.
Yeah, because I was at PNC Park last year, and this lady sitting in the front row was, like, shoving her kids up. This is before the game started, and she was, like, shoving her kids up to get a signature from who she thought was a baseball player and got the autograph. And then she saw me taking score later in the game, and she was like, oh, good, since you know baseball, she's like, who is this? And it turned out it was a guy who was giving a concert later in the day, and I was like, he's not even a baseball player. And it made me so furious that she had better seats than me, who is an, like, it's like, if you're not a fan, you don't, like, I get it that I know. I know I'm not right in this. I know that baseball events are social events. I am just not there to socialize. And so, like, it's a baseball game for me. Like, this is a serious business.
Yeah, I said to Janelle, like, we should go to a game sometime. And she goes, yeah.
Yeah.
About that.
I just, like, because I'm paying attention to the game. I'm keeping track of pitches and who comes up to bat, you know, like, who comes up to bat. And if they're switch hitters, if they're, you know, like that, I'm paying attention to all that. And so it's like, when people are around me and they're, like, not paying attention to the game and they have better seats than me, I just fly into a rage.
How far back does baseball go with you, being this interested?
I remember when I believe the Cardinals were in. The thing is, I'm not as good as Kevin as far as exact years, but I know that the Cardinals lost the World Series and I was either 9 or 11, and I still have my little Cardinals stuffed animal, and they lost it. And I remember standing at my bedroom window holding it and just sobbing into it. And so, yeah, I mean, just let's just say, like, the average of just 10 years old,
yeah,
is just being like, this is my team. These are So I can remember standing there at my window and just thinking my world was coming to an end. Yeah.
Very sweet.
So,
very
no,
cute.
Is it? I mean, that's.
Yeah, no, it is.
Psychotic.
I think so.
Sure.
It's cute. You can be cute and psychotic.
Yeah, those aren't mutually exclusive.
No, not at all.
But yeah.
We only have about 5 minutes here. Sure. What have you seen? What are you going
to
see?
Tonight I get to see A Working Man, which is, like, the thing. Please don't judge me. Like, as I know, I work as a movie critic, but, like, these are my kind of movies. These non-thinking Jason Statham, 20 minutes in, he's kicking somebody in the face. These are like palate cleansers to me. You know, you go and you see everything really heavy, or you have to find a metaphor for what this means and what did the director, what was his vision for this. But these Jason Statham movies are just what they are.
Yeah.
I have seen Death of a Unicorn, Paul Rudd, Jenna Ortega, Will Poulter. It's good. Everything out right about now is about a 3.5, if that means anything to you. The Penguin Lessons was a good movie. It was interesting to learn about, you know, the Argentina political uprising in 1976, told through a guy, through an outsider.
But I swear to God, I thought you were going to say Argentinian penguins. I didn't know what this film was about.
It's actually a Uruguayan penguin. So, yeah. No, I've seen, like I said, a few of them have, but I'm not expecting by any stretch of the imagination an Oscar.
Yeah, check your brain. Have a good night.
Yeah, I just want to see him 15 minutes and just staple somebody's face to a
and is that table. Basically what it is, like, from previews?
I'm sure it's another one that it's supposed to be based on a true story, and it's human trafficking, and I like those. It's clear good guy, clear bad guy.
Is he your favorite punch a guy in the face guy? As opposed to, like,
Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he really does it anymore, does he?
That's all he does, isn't it?
He right said he made his last one.
Yeah.
Maybe the next one coming is going
to
be his last
one. I think those
have
been, a lot of those have been, like, straight to streaming.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's been a lot of, like, in theater kind of movies. But I don't know, outside of Jason's, I mean, like, I don't, The Rock is, he's got to give up.
The Rock.
He's got to give up that. I, from my understanding, the rumor was years ago that he had something in his contract where he had to win. And you know, like
dank.
Danny Trejo has in his contract that he never minds playing the bad guy, but he wants him to die so that people and kids learn that the bad guys don't win.
About that.
So it works the opposite for The Rock, where if you always have to win, there's not much you can do.
I guess that makes sense.
But a lot of those
guys
are like that. Like, Tom Cruise always wins. When's he ever lost?
Yeah, but I don't know if he has it in his contract. Like, if But then, like, you can't make original movies. Like, his are all, like, Mission Impossible movies. So, right. Yeah, of course.
That's what I'm saying. That's
but, I mean, like, yeah. The Rock isn't going to get Mission Impossible-type directors and writers.
That's right.
Good point. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Everybody's working.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on 104.1 FM KMOX. Matt Pauly joins us from Busch Stadium. What's up, Matt?
Not much. How are you guys?
I love that little studio. I'm so envious of you guys. I've never wanted anything quite as much as I want sports press credentials. I can afford to buy tickets. I just want to walk in there and go, like, I believe you know my work. Go up to the press box, have a sandwich, don't root. It just sounds like so much fun. So cool.
Yeah, it's I have a job that I very much enjoy, and I'm glad that it involves going to the ballpark a whole lot.
Absolutely. So before we jump into the Cardinals, I want to talk to you about you a little bit. You and Benji called the game. I know you've called tons and tons of games in the minor leagues, and I am intrigued by play-by-play. Like, you, is it a different part of your brain when you're doing that as opposed to, like, sports open line and such?
Yeah, I think so. It's a completely different skill. Being a sports host and being a play-by-play broadcaster are very different things. I came up doing more play-by-play than hosting. I enjoy both of them really equally. I love hosting Sports Open Line, and when I get the chance to broadcast a game, I really enjoy being able to do that as well. You know, we're so blessed with great broadcasters, with John Rooney, Ricky Horton, and Mike Claiborne, but on the rare occasion that they ask me to fill in for them, it's very, very cool, and the chance that I got to work with, I always enjoy working with people. Like, that's not, I love all the various broadcast partners I've had throughout my career, and I got another new one this past week when Benji Molina and I did it together, and we had a whole lot of fun. So it's a blast to be able to do, for sure.
Yeah, Benji, why wouldn't he be impressive? But every time I talk to him in person or listen to him, he just really impresses me and makes me think. He sees things that other people don't see.
Okay, and this is going to sound dumb because I am, but he's the Spanish language analyst, and we did an English broadcast, and he was just as good there as he is anywhere. Like, just to me, to consider any, you know, Jack Buck used to actually do some Spanish language broadcast back in the day. For somebody to be so good in two languages that they are able to be broadcasting in both of those languages, like, to me, that is just incredible.
Yeah. I only have one thing to say, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and Wheels. I'm going to sit back and listen to you like it was Gas House or Red Bird Rush Hour. I was watching Ali be interviewed earlier today in the dugout, and he was talking about the way he set up the lineup, and you have these guys at the top, you have these guys in the middle, you have these guys at the end. And then he said, he kind of paused and got a little wry smirk on his face, and he said, "It'll be fun to watch." And that's what I want to focus on as a fan. It will be fun to watch. Now, it might be painful eventually. You know, we don't know how it's going to go. But we're not the Dodgers. We're not the Yankees. We don't have this gigantic, you know, payroll and all these stars from top to bottom. But it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't think this is a team that you look at as being a legitimate World Series threat. Their ceiling is probably competing for the division if the division is really bad, which we think it might be. So that's kind of where they're at. Now, there's other things going on kind of, you know, on the infrastructure side of things that are setting up the organization to be back to being a World Series contender in years to come. But there are some interesting things. Being able to watch Victor Scott II go play center field every day, and when he gets on the bases and see what he's able to do there. Watching Wilson Contreras play 150-plus games a year and maybe be a 30 to 40 home run kind of guy, to see if Lars Nootbaar can stay healthy and become the type of dynamic player that he has shown he can be when he stays on the field. I mean, those are just some of the storylines from an offensive standpoint. There are a lot of interesting things on this team, and I am going to have fun watching. I don't care what the outside expectations are right now. I see a team that in some ways will be interesting. In some ways, they're terribly boring. Like, I'm not trying to just completely sugarcoat things. In some ways, this is a very boring team, but in other ways there's some intrigue.
Yeah, like I've been talking to a lot of friends that are Cardinals fans. I'm like, welcome to being a fan of 29 other teams, because most teams haven't had 20-25 years of being good every year. You know, I mean, I know it's weird for Cardinals fans to look at it and say we're not a World Series contender. But this is the reality of most baseball markets all the time. And yeah, even the Dodgers, because up until recently, they weren't this, right? If you look at them over 20 years, the Cardinals have been better than them for the last 20 years. But, like, this is a normal thing that sometimes you're just going to have to cycle down, figure some things out, and then push the throttle back down moving forward. And on the exciting side, last night, Dave, Matt, and I talked on the Redbird Rush Hour about actually the possible excitement at the bottom of the order.
I heard that.
Like,
yeah.
When you have Victor Scott and Mason Winn at the bottom, that could be 80, 90 stolen bases. I'm not saying they're going to be there all year. They probably won't. I mean, you'll see maybe both of them batting at the top at some point in different versions. But what you don't typically do in modern baseball is try to steal a lot of bases in front of your best hitters. The view is it's a little too risky with a good hitter up there. You don't want a runner thrown out. But also, you don't want to open first base so that the other team pitches around your best hitter because you want that guy to be pitched too. But at the bottom of the order, that's where you can be crazy. That's where you can run basically at will. And then you turn it over to the top with guys maybe in scoring position, and that's how you can have the bottom feed the top of the lineup, which is that to me would be a lot of fun. Now, the questions are essentially, I think, what are you going to get in the middle? Like, I think we're pretty good with if Newt and Donovan and Contreras are healthy, I think we know what they're going to do, roughly. They're going to be pretty close to a certain line. We don't know about Arenado. I think we know probably what Burleson's going to be. We don't fully know Herrera, and we definitely don't know Walker. So the middle of it is a little bit more uncertain, and the bottom has its uncertainties. But look around baseball, man. The teams that have 7, 8, 9 hole hitters, they don't have all stars 7, 8, 9. Not even the Dodgers have a 7, 8, 9. In fact, the Dodgers thin out after 4 or 5. But their top 3 or 4 are so good it fuels everything. That's what's going to be interesting to me is, can the bottom feed that top, and then what do you get out of the middle?
I also, you know, I go back to when Goldschmidt and Arenado were like really rolling along.
Mm-hmm.
Those were just two hitters in the middle of the order. The second that their at-bats would come to an end, teams were already looking through the next 2 or 3 innings on how to navigate when those guys would. Because so you don't have to have a great 7, 8, 9. If you've got some dangerous hitters in the middle of the order, they're always going to have a presence as a team is going about how they want to approach another team. So, yeah, I like the. Now, Kevin, I think you and I are a little bit different here. I don't put quite as much stock in the lineup. I think sometimes we make too much of it. You put good guys in the lineup, good players, no matter where they bat for the most part, you're going to score runs and vice versa.
Just got to put them together, though.
But there is value in what you're talking about in terms of having those guys at the bottom of the order who can wreak some havoc on the bases, making sure that your top of the order hitters are your best hitters. And you know, the idea of being able to score some runs in the first inning, that's not a bad thing because that sets the tone for the entire game.
So let's talk pitching. Let's talk upside. What are you guys most excited about, whether it's rotation or the bullpen?
I'd say the bullpen for two reasons. A, they were really good last year, and most of them are back. And B, there are some pieces. Some are already in St. Louis, and some will get to St. Louis later this year. That I'm like a Chris Roycroft. I'm excited about what he's going to turn into. Gordon Graceffo is a relief pitcher. I'm excited about what he's going to turn into. Same thing with Tico Arobi. I think Rodri Munoz is another guy. That's I'm naming a bunch of guys at Memphis. So this is a group that already has a track record of being very good from last year. Plus, there's some exciting pieces that are going to add on. So at some point in time, we're going to see Michael McGreevy and Quinn Matthews in the starting rotation. And maybe the answer becomes a little bit different when some of those young, exciting players are in there every 5th or 6th day. But as it sits right now, I'm actually more. I think the bullpen is one of the strongest areas of this team.
It's funny because here we'll just be opposite because mine is the rotation for two reasons. One, because I'm excited to see guys like Libertor and eventually Matthews and McGreevy get extended looks because those are the guys that are going to tell you what you can and can't spend on the rest of your roster in the coming years. If those guys are cheap, productive major league starters at worst, and possibly top of the rotation guys, that gives you the financial flexibility to spend big on a player rather than having to spread it out over 2 or 3 or 4 guys. So it's partly the fun of seeing what those three guys are, but what it can free you up to do. And then where the real fun might come into this in July is if those guys are pushing in, you can go trade an Eric Fetty and get some assets. You might even trade Sonny Gray in that scenario, depending on his desires and depending on how he's doing. So I think that's where a lot of the intrigue is going to be. I agree with Matt. I like the upside in the bullpen. I don't see as much of that changing, maybe Helsley. Maybe he gets traded in July if you're having a bad year. And if you're having a good year, you probably keep anybody that you want to.
So clearly I don't know what you guys know, but I get the sense that there are a lot of guys in Memphis really legitimately competing to be on the club. Are we a really good AAA team?
That's hard to say. Like, it depends. The best AAA teams are the AAA teams that have the most stability and most consistency, where guys stay there for a while. So that would, I would lean no, in the sense that I think there's going to be a lot of movement between St. Louis and Memphis. So the AAA team is going to serve its function in the sense that it is going to be providing the Cardinals players that can help them win games. In terms of the final record at the end of the year, I mean, it's not about wins and losses in the minor leagues. It's nice to win. If you've got a choice to do the two things, you would choose to win. It's good to create winning players and know what it means to shake hands at the end of a game. But the goal of the AAA team is to have players ready for the big leagues and to continue to develop, to do that final stage of development, which is a really big thing for the Cardinals, because bluntly, that's been where they have been lacking. Guys have just rolled through the minor league system. They've gotten to AAA, and all of a sudden the development has stalled a bit. So that's not to poo-poo your question, Dave, but I think the more important thing is not how good of a winning percentage Memphis is going to have, but do they provide players to the Cardinals that can help them win, and are they continuing to develop players while they're there?
Well, I'm going to poo-poo your answer. Because if three or four of your top pitching prospects are at Memphis and you're not winning games, something's wrong. If you got Quinn Matthews and Michael McGreevy and Tink Hentz and guys like that, and I don't know what role they're going to assign for guys like Graceffo and Tekoa Roby, but you've got four or five of your best pitching prospects at Memphis, you should be good. And I'm not talking about win championships. Nobody cares about that. That's where you and I are 100% aligned. Nobody cares if they win their division or, you know, win the AAA champion. That doesn't matter. But if you're not a winning team with all that, that's a problem, because it tells me those guys aren't ready to help you if they're not ready to win games in Memphis. And then you throw in, there are a lot of bullpen guys there that could have been in the big leagues. Riley O'Brien, right now, Nick Anderson. I don't know if he's going to stick around or not. But, you know, we throw in Graceffo and we throw in maybe Roby into that pen. That combined with, you know, Sejacy in the lineup and Kopierniak in the lineup, if they're not at least decent, I'm going to be worried.
Oh,
because
they'll be more.
That's going to be a problem if they're not able to win games with those pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be decent for sure. I don't care if they're winning. The way they win, like, if Quinn Matthews really struggles and they're losing games because every time Quinn Matthews pitches, he gives up a ton of runs, well, that's one thing. But if they're losing games where Quinn Matthews pitches well and then something funky ends up happening, like, I don't care.
All right, Matt, we'll see you at 5 p.m. Thank you, man.
You bet.
I have a weird question. So I have worked quite a lot in my younger years in the restaurant business. I've waited tables and I've been a busser and like all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm an OG, but I feel like I can talk with a little bit of experience. Why is it, do you think, that people who come to your table and bring you food prefer to be called servers instead of waiters or waitresses? Server to me, and you can call yourself anything you want, but that just seems more subservient.
Maybe it takes out the
gender.
Yeah, like actor, actress. You know, they just want to, you know, people. A lot of people just say actor either way.
Mm-hmm.
Server kind of covers that. Maybe that's the only thing I can think of. I can't remember. I think we were called servers when I was waiting tables in the 90s. I think.
Yeah, no skin off my nose either way.
Yeah,
but
I couldn't care less, man.
It.
You could call me food boy. I didn't care.
So I looked.
Just tip well.
I just Googled this. Nice tool for the show that we mm-hmm. use. Indeed Career Guide says a server is a person who helps with customer and restaurant service. Besides serving food, they work to take care of the restaurant's guests. So greeting customers, clearing tables, providing a positive experience. So server actually encompasses more than just the title of waiter. A waiter is a person who works in a restaurant taking food orders from customers.
Okay.
So it's a different job.
A little more broad. Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds like all waiters are servers, but not all servers are waiters.
Makes sense. There you go. Could have just Googled it, and we'd have a segment.
You know, but then what would you talk about?
I could talk about I saw that son of a bitch, Kenny Loggins, on TikTok last night.
Who?
Kenny Loggins, the singer.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Oh, I'm not a fan either. What did he do?
Why don't we like Kenny Loggins?
He tried to sleep with my girlfriend.
That's right.
Who was the masseuse at the Ritz-Carlton. And he booked a thing with her. And she was like, yeah, that got a little weird. And I've been salty about it ever since.
Huh.
He tried to return to Pooh Corner.
Mm-hmm. What?
It's his big hit.
What was he doing on TikTok?
I did not know this.
Just performing and being a big jerk?
Yes. Yes.
I don't like him because he always just looked like a guy that would come out and be like, meh.
He's like, if any of you are masseuses, email me.
I just remember thinking, like, I can't compete with Kenny Loggins.
Not going to lie, though, the Gopher song's all right.
I'm all right.
Yeah, but I mean, only in that context. No, it's the Gopher song. Because if it's on the radio, I'm turning it off. But if it's the beginning of that movie and little gopher guy comes out, I'm watching that.
I love that song. If it's on the radio, I turn it off.
Yeah, no, I don't like that song. I like that song tied into
in that context,
little gopher guy.
Potpourri segment here. Was Bo Jackson the greatest athlete of all time?
Greatest I ever knew of. I mean, like, people will, you know, if you want to compare something somewhat modern, like Jim Brown was kind of in that same vein, right? Like, he was an elite lacrosse player in college and obviously a football Hall of Famer and probably could have played others. But not many actually got to be as good as Bo was at two professional sports.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys played a lot of sports. Like, Dave Winfield was drafted in three sports.
Hmm.
He was drafted in football, basketball, and baseball and is a baseball Hall of Famer. So that's a different thing, though, than Bo Jackson being a star, an all-star, in both sports as a pro. And Deion Sanders had that too. But I think Bo would be the greatest I've ever seen. But, you know, do we count decathletes?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's a different kind of thing, right? Different set of skills. Maybe back in the day, it was Jim Thorpe,
mm-hmm.
You know, pro football player, baseball player, and Olympian.
Mm-hmm. The kind